Open your Bible to the fourth chapter of John, please. Open your Bible to the fourth chapter of John, please. Today I have a word from the Lord that He gave me months ago. I didn't know where I'd preach it. I had no clue, to be honest with you. As they mentioned earlier, we're involved in a ministry that we actually are involved in several churches and several ministry works from all over and the different groups. And we were actually responding to emails and things just the other night from missionaries in Burma or Myanmar. We're involved in a lot of things with a lot of churches. And so I could have preached, I very well could have been invited to preach this message anywhere. But today, the Lord knew you'd be here. And He wanted this message for you. Don't you be concerned about who isn't here. You be concerned about who is here. And who is here is Jesus. He said, if two or more of you are together in My name, if there's just two of you, I'm going to be in the midst of you. Don't beg Me to be there. I'm there. The President of Presidents, the King of Kings, is in this room right now. I know that there are many of you today that are sitting there wondering and may have even recently said to yourself, is this all that there is? Is this as good as it gets? Is this really what God has for me? Is this really what I was born to do? You may be concerned that God possibly wants you to lead a meager existence. That He possibly wants you to lead an unexistent, uneventful life that does not end well and that ends in pain and sickness and poverty. You may believe that today. That your calling in life, that what God has portioned for your lot in life is to work, to live, be put out to pasture, and to die. But I want you to know that the devil is a liar. The world has bought the lie. They're preaching it. They're teaching it. And most of us are sitting under it, listening to it. You yourself may have been bewitched. Say bewitched. Bewitched. You may have been bewitched into believing this lie. That your life is simply to live, to make a paycheck, to make all kinds of payments, to try to raise kids better than what you were raised, really teaching them the exact same thing, and then for Proctors or Youngs, Perrys, whoever, to come get you. That's a lie. That is a complete lie, and that is a lie from hell, and is a lie that Fox News and every other news network preaches to you every day. It is a lie that the Dr. Phil show, it is a lie that Oprah, it is a lie that everybody tells you that is your life. To you just sit back in your corner, you shut up and you sit down and you get in line with the rest of us. But I want you to know that the word from the Lord today to you is this: I have always wanted better for you. I've always wanted more for you. You think about the greatest pain in your life right now, and you close your eyes and you hear the word of the Lord and let it wash over your soul. And the word of the Lord to you is right now: I've always wanted better for you. I've always wanted more for you. I'm in charge. I'm king. I'm creator. I'm president of presidents. That White House is a dump compared to what I have. Do you think I care? I'm the King of Kings around here. I'm creator. I decide your destiny. I'm the one that called and put breath in your lungs. And I declare over your life, I want better for you. Let's pray. Father, today we thank You for this word that You've given the church at El Dorado, that You've given me, that Lord, that this word today would not fall on hardened, cold hearts that are worried and discouraged and that are sitting here thinking of everything else but what You're trying to do. You're in the room right now. You're in the room. You are talking. You're just talking through flesh, but You're talking and You're crying out to these people and You're saying, I want something better. Lord, may we hear this word today in Jesus' name. John chapter 4 and verse 5. John chapter 4 and verse 5. Eventually he hears Jesus. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And I'm reading the New Living Translation, by the way. Soon a Samaritan, say Samaritan. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised because Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. It'd be like today, lost people, hurting people, messed up people, discouraged people, in debt people. Be the equivalent of Billy Graham rolling up in your house and saying, hey, I'd like to come stay with you. Hey, I'd like to come have dinner with you tonight. See, the Jews hated the Samaritans. It was racist. They were prejudiced against the Samaritans. Matter of fact, in scripture and even in culture, we know that most of the Jews referred to, and Jesus even used the word talking about the Jews, about the Samaritans, how they felt, and he called them dogs. They were dogs. They were the unlovely. They were the messed up folk. Really, they were like everybody else, is what they were. So Jesus comes here and he says, listen, again, verse 9, the woman was surprised for Jesus refused to have anything to do with Samaritans, but not this one, not this Jew, not this one. So she said to Jesus, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan and I'm a woman. Again, in this culture, they didn't revere women. They didn't love women. Paul hadn't written to the church yet about, hey, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Hello. None of that had happened yet. And she's saying, I'm a Samaritan, I'm lower class than you, and I'm a woman, so I don't mean much to anybody anywhere in the whole world, and you're sitting here talking to me, and you're asking me to give you a drink. And listen to this, and here's where I get all excited, and the Pentecostal comes out in me. In verse 10, it says, Jesus replied, if you only knew, say, if you only knew. He said, if you only knew the gift that God has for you. The gift. What's a gift? Do you have to go buy a gift? Do you have to earn a gift? Do you have to be good enough to get a gift? Everybody here knows how you act like a fool when you were a kid. And they burn the house half down. Then a present, Christmas time, here comes a present anyway. It's a gift. It's a gift. You don't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. You can't pray enough for it. You can't fast enough for it. It is a gift. God rolls up in this situation with this woman who in her life, she had been living with multiple men. She had been married multiple times. Her life. And do you think she liked that? I mean, do you think that that's what she wanted to do is be married five times? Do you think that's really what she wanted? That that's what she grew up thinking, this is what I want for my life. Do you think the people sitting around you that have been in the same situations, do you think that's really what they wanted? To be addicted to drugs? To be poor? To be on pornography? To act like a fool and beat their kids? Is that really what you think people want? If you only knew the gift that God has for you, I'm reading here. If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you were speaking to. If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me, and I'd give you living water. If you only knew today who was talking through me. I'm nothing, by the way. But he's talking. He's using the best thing he's got right now. If you only knew who was talking to you right now, who I was representing right now, if you only knew. If you only understood the gift that was being offered to you, I don't care if you've been saved and religious and you've been Holy Ghost filled for 25 years and you've preached in the biggest cathedrals. I don't care though if you just came out of the crack house last night and you're sitting here today. It makes no difference. Christ Jesus is offering a gift to you today. You don't have to earn it. If you only knew, if you only realized what Jesus was offering you today. Today, Jesus is standing at the door of your life, whether you have Him in your heart yet or you don't. And He desires to fill your life with His goodness, His mercy, His love, His acceptance, regardless of your past or even your present, or even the full thing that you plan on doing when you get out of here. He wants to give you the future that He died to obtain. He desires to give you joy. Say joy. Joy. Say peace.
Peace.
Say happiness.
Happiness.
Happy are those people whose God is the Lord. You have a right to be happy. You have a right to have joy. You have a right to have peace. I am sick and tired of this dead religion mess that comes into these churches and sitting around and people all dead and act like it's supposed to be dead and everybody's supposed to be dead. And then we wonder why nobody wants to come. We wonder why nobody wants what we got. Nobody follows dead. We put them in the ground. We don't follow them. We put them in the ground. To give you joy, peace, happiness, gladness, and His promised provision. Yes, and that does mean money. This is what we really desire anyway. Even with all the busyness and all the entertainment, we keep ourselves and our kids and everybody moving all the time and everything's just crazy all the time and everybody's moving and we can't do enough. We can't. Why do you think we do that? We don't do that because we love everybody. We do that because if we slow down long enough, there's this little homing device inside of you that starts doing this. And it starts saying, hey, hello, hello, hello. There's something more. 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 Oh, the movies. Oh, the basketball game. Oh, we got to do this. We got to do that. Oh, we got to go deer hunting. Oh, we got to go fishing. I went fishing yesterday, by the way, so don't get mad and act like I'm being ugly. I'm not. Those things are fine, but so often what we're really doing, we don't want to hear that voice. We don't want to hear it. Because there's something in you that says, hey, kid, son, daughter, there's something more for you. I've got something for you. But most of the time, life, say life. Most of the time, life has taken away our joy and our peace and thereby our future. Oh, you may be alive 20 years from now, but are you really that alive? Life has a way of taking. Life has a way of robbing. Life has a way of changing what you really believe God wants to do and what He wanted you to be, what He wanted you to have. Life does that. We go to work separated from our families. We struggle all the time under the weight of providing for ourselves and maintaining all this stuff that doesn't actually mean a rip to anybody anyway. Doesn't provide that much enjoyment. We toil for food and for car payments and mortgages. And under the weight of trying to get by and wanting something better, and you ask yourself sitting there in that line at work, you ask yourself driving to work in the mornings, and you're half dead, and you're cold, and you're hard, and you ask yourself, God, is there something more than this? I mean, is this really the best I can do? Is this really the best you have for me? Or am I the only person here that ever wonders things like that? Was I really born just to make payments? Well, I came today as God's ambassador to tell you no. This isn't all there is. There's more. God declares over you today, just like the Samaritan woman, if you'll ask me and you'll do what I tell you to do, if you'll do this, I'll give you living water. I'll give you something that the world can't give you. All they've got is water that if you drink, you're going to be thirsty again. But I'm going to give you something that actually does something. I'm going to give you something to give you to something to fight. I'm going to make you a bright, shining example for me. I'm going to make you an ambassador for me of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to walk into a room and the atmosphere is going to change because you're not broke, busted, and disgusted, just simply waiting to die somewhere in a hole by yourself. There's going to be something in you that people want and that people desire. I am good. The word God comes from the original that says the good one. I am the good one. I desire things in your life more than what you desire them. You see, what I'm describing today isn't really life at all. It's just existence. It's what 99% of the world has, and sadly about 85% of the church has. We just live, or we're just Americans, and this is just how we live. This is what we aspire to. This is what we fight for. And in the end, it doesn't make any difference anyway. Today, the Lord is declaring, I've always wanted more for you than this. We've lost the magic, the wonder, the awe of God's great love for us and His plan for us. You've traded the power of the gospel in for a lie that at best is to live and just die. But I want you to know something. The central truth of today, God's word and message to you, is listen to this. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. So often, hell hides behind a curtain. Hell hides behind this sinister label called life. Called life. So here's what happens. Whenever anything in your life happens, and there's that gut-wrenching, that pull inside of you, that thing of, this isn't right. There's something not right about this. I don't think that this is really what my life is all supposed to consist of. I don't think this is really it. When that thing pulls at your heart and there's something deep from within you that resists as something just being just normal, as that this is what your life is supposed to be, that you're supposed to be just an insignificant worker somewhere in a hole, and that this is it. This is really what the kingdom is about. This is what the gospel is about. That's really it. When that thing pulls inside of you, and there's something in you that says, hey, there's more. There's more. There's more. Somebody always comes along. Somebody always comes along and looks at the contradiction of what's in your heart, of what God called you to be, of what He destined you to be. Somebody always comes along in your life. Satan always sends some joker along. And they look at the contradiction between what's in your heart and between what your life is really like. And they say, well, that's okay. That's just life, son. That's just life, daughter. That's just how it is. That's just life. Marriages are supposed to be hard and miserable and something that everyone really kind of needs, but nobody really wants. Kids are okay to have and are kind of a blessing, but really we're going to treat them like they're a terminal disease. You just have to work some old miserable job all your life until you're no longer useful to a company and they boot you on for the next one. You're supposed to be broken miserable because everybody around here is broken miserable. You're supposed to just simply die in a hole by yourself and depressed and discouraged. You're supposed to sit here in sickness and poverty and decline. You're supposed to sit here with depression, grief, and sorrow. It's just part of the deal, kid. Suck it up. This sickness, this condition, this thing you got, it's just part of life in this world. It's just life. The problem with all this mess is that there are tons of examples of people whose lives dispute every one of these things. I'm going to be honest with you. You ain't going to like this. But there are lost people happier than many saved folks. Oh, wait a minute. You want me to tell you where I get that scripturally? The Bible says that it rains upon the just and the unjust. Hey, you know the rain is talking about there is to an agricultural community. If they don't have rain, they're going to die. It rains. God's rain comes on the just, the church folk, and on the non-church folks. Because you know why? Because the Word of God says that it is the goodness of God that draws men unto repentance. It is the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. It is the goodness of God that draws people into the kingdom. And so when you get the promotion that nobody said you could get, when you have the house that nobody said you could have, when your kids get saved and get off crack and everything in your life that was hellish is now turned completely around and all those things happen and you actually may be lost. Is God calling out and saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm not mad at you. I want to save you. I'm a good father. It rains on the just and the unjust because God's really that good. And not only that, we have God's word that contradicts every single one of these truths. The Bible says that the righteous grow brighter and brighter. Let me ask you a question today. Are you growing brighter and brighter? Is your life excelling? Is there something in your life that every day that it may not be the best of days, it may not be the easiest of days, but there's something in you that's kicking you in the back every day? Can you look back 10 years ago and then look at today and say, you know what? We may have had some struggles over the last decade, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm still here. I'm going to tell you something. God's still good. He's still alive in my life. I'm still blessed. I have more today than I did then. I have more joy today than I did then. I have these kids. I have this marriage. I have this job. I have a call on my life. God's here. God's good. The righteous grow brighter and brighter. You just keep talking all that mess that the world says. You just keep talking about life. You just keep talking about how we ain't nothing but poor folk. You just keep talking about how we just get old and sick and die in a hole. You just keep talking about that marriage is hard and you can't stand him and he can't stand you and her. You just keep talking about your crazy kids and how things are so hard and so difficult. You just keep talking the problem all the time. Just keep it up. Keep it up. And then we sit there and we wonder, why? Well, God, what is the problem here? Because you've been bewitched. You have been bred to believe a lie. You've been bred to believe a lie. You spend 3 hours a week, maybe, in here. Maybe. And then you go out there and the first thing you do that everybody does, you will run people over trying to get home and see who's doing what, who's killing who's sleeping with who done got married, who done got murdered. You can't wait to get home and see who done got killed. You can't wait to see you cannot wait to get home and see who's got the Zika virus now, who got this, and who's dying, and whose babies are born. You can't wait. You act like this is some unique period in history, that this hadn't always been the way it is. Folks always been killing each other. Folks always been acting like a bunch of idiots. Folks always been cheating around and catting around. People always act like a fool. And you can't wait to get that in your life. And then you wonder why you sit around and think that's just the way the world is. You wonder why you think that's just, say it, life. The label called life. The other day I was on the phone on a conference call. And I was talking to another state for the company I work for. And the guy I was talking to had me on speakerphone. And so he's sitting there in his office. I'm on speaker talking. And this guy walks by his office and he's walking by and all of a sudden he stops. He hears Mark Smith's voice. And so he comes in there and he says, "Hey, is that Mark Smith?" He's from Arkansas, so I'm doing the voice right. "Hey, is this Mark Smith?" I said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "Where are you at, Mark Smith?" I said, "Well, I'm in Arkansas right now." And he said, "Arkansas? Now listen, this guy is from Arkansas. He lives in Arkansas." Well, he don't live in Arkansas. He has a house and a family and a wife and a child in Arkansas, but he's not in Arkansas. And so he's sitting there and he said, "Arkansas, what are you doing in Arkansas? You can't make no money in Arkansas." I said, "Well, you better hold the phone." I said, "Don't wake me up. I'm going to tell you something about making no money in Arkansas. Everybody in here is broke and poor, and this is just the way things are. I'm going to tell you something right now. That is a complete lie. Be it unto you according to how you believe, what you believe, what you believe, how you believe. If you sit here and you think that's just the best you can do and that's all the life we got, that is a complete lie. Because I'm going to tell you something. I am uneducated. I am unqualified. And it wasn't that long ago that I just turned out an offer to work right here in Arkansas for several hundred thousand dollars. Don't you tell me what you can't do. Don't you tell me what you can't have. And I will be absolutely blasted before I let somebody else who doesn't even have a covenant with Almighty God, who doesn't even know Jesus, who doesn't have what I have deep inside of me, I will be absolutely gone before I let somebody else tell me what my rights are, what tell me what Jesus did for me, what Jesus provided for me. You are out of your mind if you think I'm going to walk into even churches. You are out of your mind if you think I'm going to let some goofy goober come in there and tell me what my life is supposed to be, what I'm supposed to have, that this is the best I can do because that's all I ever did. And some of you are sitting right there now thinking, "Well, you know, come to think of it, you got a point." Because you believe the same thing. You're supposed to get sick and die. You're supposed to hate your wife half the time. You're supposed to hate your husband. You're supposed to be at enmity with your children. You're supposed to be at enmity with your spouse. Children are a terminal disease. Marriage is something that, it's a lie. It's a lie. Your problem is that you've been led and lied to all your life by other people, and many of them are in the church, and you believe them. Their lives are not, say not. They are not, say not, not. They are not displays of God's goodness, of God's kindness and mercy. So they think no one else can rise above that either. But listen, we've talked about what so-and-so said. We've talked about what Dr. Phil said. We've talked about what Oprah said. We talked about all them people, what all they think. That's fine. Let's talk about what God thinks. Let's talk about what the boss thinks. You want to know what the boss thinks? Let's look at Psalm 103. I'm just going to read it for you and just bust on out with it. The 103rd Psalm declares over your life, over my life, if you believe it. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. Say it with me like you believe it. He fills my life with good things. One more time. He fills my life with good things. Again, He fills my life with good things. Oh, I wasn't done yet. My youth is renewed like the eagles. My, you understand that David's writing here, and he keeps saying over and over again, my, me. In any situation, you have to maintain your stance on the Word of God. So no matter what goofer, sucker rolls up in your life and tells you anything different, you have to fight back with God's Word and say, well, that may be the way the rest of you're going down. That may be the rest, I mean, I don't care what the rest of the church does. If y'all want to go jump off a cliff in despair and destruction, go right ahead. If y'all want to be miserable and be in your grief all the time and talk about it all the time, then you go right ahead. If that's what you want, and I have to sit here a victim constantly, and I am constantly victimized, and this is just my life, and I'm supposed to sit here in a hole by myself, you go ahead. I ain't going down with everybody else. I may go down, but by God, I'm going to go down swinging. Something fighting for something. That's what built this country on the backs of people who believed in fighting for something. Today, we don't believe in fighting for nothing. We just talk about it and whine about it and complain about it. We don't fight anymore. And if we do fight, we fight the wrong, we fight people. Too often the people that tell you these things are goofy. Got nothing religious people, or even worse, someone standing in the pulpit. Not here, of course. Well-meaning family. They don't see what God's put in you. They knew you when you used to act like a fool. They knew you when you were in there cussing, throwing a fit, and robbing banks and knocking over liquor stores. They remember every bit of that. They remember you showing your rear at Christmas when you didn't get what you wanted, just like I did. It is hard to deal with people you know, people who remember everything. Of course, you know, it's always convenient for them because they never think anybody remembers theirs either. This is what life, and this is what people, this is even what religious people say that life is supposed to be. But let's look at the definition of that's just life. And listen, we're going to get real good here in just a minute. Let's see what Jesus said about life. Do you believe Jesus, by the way? Do you believe He is who He said He was? Do you really believe that? Do you believe He's God? Do you believe He's God in the flesh? Do you believe that He suffered under Pontius Pilate and that He was crucified for your sin and for my sin, and they put Him in the rich man's tomb, and then 3 days later He came out of that grave victorious and defeated over hell, death, and the grave, over sickness and poverty and destruction? Do you believe who Jesus says that He is? Okay, well, He's the boss, right? All right, John 10:10. John 10:10. This ought to mess up your theology today. Ought to just blow it out of the water. John 10:10. The thief. Say the thief. The thief. Say, oh, look at this. I like that. Say the thief. The thief. Wait, who's the thief? Okay. Satan, Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, the devil. It ain't your boss. It ain't your wife. The thief. Satan comes and he has three main job descriptions. It is to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay. Oh, my purpose though. Who's my in the sentence? Who's my? It's Jesus. God's talking here. God is talking to you today, right now. And he's telling you, my purpose is to give you, to give them a rich and satisfying life. This is what life is. That's what life is, everybody. I've come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. I didn't come here so you could experience death, hell, and the grave. I did not come so you could sit here and have all the stealing and the killing and the destruction. I didn't come so your kids could go to hell. I didn't come so you could suffer divorce after divorce. I didn't come so you could be enslaved to pornography and drugs. I did not come so you could sit here under the weight of destruction and sickness. I came to give you life. I came to bring life, and I came to bring it abundantly, and abundantly means more than enough. If your checking account is abundant, what does that mean? It means there's more than enough. We done paid the banker, we done paid the car payment, and there's more than enough. That's what Jesus said about life. So you think I'm going to believe somebody else what they say life is? I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings in here. But compared to God, ain't nobody in here. I mean, compared to God, I'm a nobody. I have to tell people that in my mind all the time. When they tell me what I can't do, what I can't be, how this, how you got to do it. I have to sit there and think, I love you. But compared to Jesus, you nobody. When life tells you that this is the way it's supposed to be, you fight back with His words. You fight back with His job description for your life. You fight back with the entitlement that He's given you. So when hell comes in and it brings stealing, taking away from you, it brings killing and destruction, and you're standing in that hospital room and you're standing and you're watching lives being destroyed, the people that you love, you don't have to wonder, beloved, is this God? Is this really what He's doing to try to teach me something? All that fool mess. I want you to know, He said, I've come to bring you life. You tell me how many people Jesus ran up to and said, I love you so much, and I have such a great purpose for you, that I'm going to give you cancer. I love you so much, I'm going to give you autism. I love you so much, I'm going to take every possible thing I can from you. Even the book of Job says that Job had enough sense to know and to say. The Bible says that Job did not sin because in all the things that happened to him, the Bible says he did not charge God with it. God didn't sit here and send His Son, the King of Kings, the most richest, most powerful, anointed being that's ever set foot on this planet Earth, so you could die under the weight of a mortgage. And letting your finances dictate everything you do and everywhere you go and everybody you see. He didn't die so you could sit there discouraged. You could sit there weak and thinking about yourself all the time. He didn't die for that. He died for more. God's word to you today is, I want more for you than this mess. When they tell me, when I'm told, or when hell tells me I can't preach, and I'll just die one day as a significant employee in a hole somewhere by myself, I have to talk back. And I have to say, not only am I going to preach, but by God's grace and by God's power and by God's opportunities, I'm going to preach this gospel on every continent. I'm going to preach to the north and the south of the equator. I'm going to preach to the west and the east of the prime meridian. You just hide and watch. Well, what's the thing for you? What's the thing for you that you're told you can't do and you can't be? What are you told? What are you telling yourself you can't do and you can't be? What are you afraid to do? What are you sitting around moping about 20 years later that you should have done then that you ain't done yet? Hey, the calling's still there. The plan's still there. The mercy's still there. God knew we were goofy. Who knew we'd miss it? He called you anyway. He anointed you anyway. If you're lost this morning, He called and He anointed you anyway to be saved. He's bringing you in. He's wooing you today. There is a destroyer. There is a deceiver. There is a devastator. There is a delayer. There is a discourager. There is a denier. There is a destiny killer, but it's not Jesus. Even from the time of Genesis, Satan has always, that lying sucker has always, always, always tried to convince God's people that God is a bad father, that He's an absentee father, that He's cold, and He's indifferent. The Israelites finally bust out of Egypt. Their Emancipation Proclamation had been declared by the Creator Himself. He said, "You get my people out of that hellhole." And they got out. Listen, they were headed to live in the four seasons. These people were headed to live in luxury and calm. And listen, the biggest thing, safety. They were called to live in safety and security. The Bible says it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. We know the story, how it ends. None of that generation, except just a little, I mean like 0.003% actually gets there. Because why? First thing out of their mouth when I get out of there: "God brought us out here to die. He brought me out here to kill me." And you know, we laugh and giggle and it is kind of funny. But how often do you say the same thing? I should have stayed where I was. I should have stayed with old Jeff Bow. I should have stayed with old Moretta. I should have stayed back over there in the crack house. I should have stayed back over there where I was, where all my friends were. Oh yeah, they're real good friends, all right. Yeah, they're doing great. God called me to do this. God called me to move here. God called me to be that. And then I get there, then all hell breaks loose. Oh, He brought me out here to die. Oh, really? Well, that's kind of funny. Because He's already told you who the killer is. He's already told you who the destroyer is, who the resister is. And it's not Jesus. God brought us out here to die. No, He didn't. He brought you out there to bring you into a gorgeous estate of safety and security and provision. And folks, that is the Old Testament covenant, by the way. For just a really select few people. Do you know that in the New Testament, Jesus said, hey, everybody listen. Jesus said, "Hey, I've come to give you a better covenant based on better promises." So why are you not living like that? I'll let you answer that question. Satan is a killer hiding behind the curtain that nearly everybody, including the church, just calls life. And while Jesus is sitting there and He's trying to get you to believe Him for more, He is trying to stir you up. He is trying to stir up the dreams and the desires and the destiny and the calling and that fight, that vigor, that general that's deep within you. Because what Jesus was is in you, as He is in this world, so are we. He is powerful. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take a side note here just for a minute. Jesus, is He sick today? Is Jesus broke today? Is Jesus discouraged? Is He deceived? Is He bewitched? Is He worried? As Christ Jesus is, so are we. That's the word. That's what He said. I didn't say it. He said it. So what happens is that destiny gets pushed down because we have a discourager. So He and His team, the devil and His team, the devil and his folks, and some of them wear suits, will come and tell you that you'll never amount to anything. God can't use a person like you. We all know what you did. We all know what you used to take and what you used to do. We all know who you slept with. We all know what you did. God says, "I love you. I've forgiven you. I've washed you clean." Them other jokers may hold a grudge. And if you broke the law, the state of Arkansas may hold a grudge. But I have forgiven you. I love you. I see Jesus when I see you. You'll never be happy. You'll never find somebody. It's too late. You're too old. Just give up. Just sit down and shut up. But Jesus, He is kicking in the door today in your life. He's kicking in the door this morning, and He is declaring liberty and freedom to you. He is declaring liberty and freedom to the captives. He is declaring liberty and freedom to the church folks who are sitting there bewitched and bemused and wondering and worrying and under pressure and under fear. He is calling out. He is crying out. He's saying, "You are free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're righteous in me. You're powerful in me. You are destined by me. You are called by me. You are loved and you are accepted. I love you. I love you. I love you. I accept you. I accept you. My blood was enough for you. My blood was enough for your mistakes. My blood was enough for every time that you missed it." Don't believe the lie that what life is supposed to be like. That's not the life I want from you. I'm God. I'm in charge. I'm the Creator. I don't care what everybody else says about you. I don't even care if they're right. I'm in charge. But here's the condition. You're indeed free. So much so that you can either choose to accept or reject the abundant life. That's the condition. It's very simple. You have to receive this type of life. You have to make choices and decisions to support this type of life. You may think I'm nuts, but let me ask you this. If you don't ever save money and you don't ever invest or you don't ever take care of your business like you're supposed to, it's kind of funny how that works, because then you get to be, you know, older in your life and all of a sudden there's not what you need to be there. And so everybody says, well, I wonder what happened. Well, you have to make decisions today to be where you want to be tomorrow. I'm going to go to the other side over here. Maybe they'll. You have to make decisions today to be where you want to be tomorrow. I got one for you. If you're lost, I want you to know something. You don't have to be lost. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you act like a fool apart from Him and you've denied or whatever it is you're doing, you have to make a decision. Lord, I want you. I want this abundant life. I'm tired of this mess. See, the woman at the well, Jesus did confront her issues. He confronted every single one of her issues. He did. He said, well, go back and get your husband. Oh, well, I don't have a husband. That's right, because you're shacked up right now. You done been married like 5 times already. See, Jesus wasn't trying to get her out of that life because he hated her, because he was mad at her. The Bible says that the commands of God are not grievous. They're for your good. He knew that there was a blockage in her life from her being all that she could be. He knew it. And so he was calling, trying to get her out of it. Listen, friends, when God confronts your sin, when he confronts your darkness, when he confronts the lies that you believe, the unbelief, the fear, he doesn't do it with an anvil or a hammer. He does it with a soft, tender touch and says, I love you. I don't want you to die like this. I don't want you to die this way. I don't want you to die afraid. I don't want your last final moments on this earth as you gasp for air to be lying there and thinking, is this really all there was? That's not what I want for you. Today, Jesus is crying out. He is wooing. He is moving on hard hearts. He's moving on church folks' hearts. He's moving on lost folks' hearts. Today, Jesus offers abundant life. The first step is to have eternal life. And what that means is that you simply, it is so easy, it is so free, it's a gift. It is a gift. Say it's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. And I want you to pay attention to me for a minute. And Wendy's is going to be there, I promise you. Calm down. I know they didn't start the Weather Channel music on me, so we got to get done. But the gift that we have today is free. It's free. It's a gift. I don't care if you just left this morning in sin. I don't care if you just got out of bed with somebody you're not married with. Hello. I don't care if you just snorted a line before you got in here today. I don't care if you're sitting here half drunk. I don't care if you're sitting here and you are a miserable wretch and you're sitting here and you're in adultery and you're in darkness and you are held by the sin and the grip of pornography. I don't really care. Because Jesus paid for it. He covered it. And today he is crying out to you and he's saying, look, 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 Mark, look, I love you. I forgive you. I'm not holding that against you. The prophet Isaiah said that there would come a day when Jesus would come and he would no longer hold our sins against us because he paid for them. If you're sitting there today and you say, Mark, I don't know how I got here. I am worried, I am wounded, I'm bewitched, I'm miserable. You may be rich and you may be powerful, but in your heart, you're powerless. You may be prominent, but in your heart, you're pitiful. And today, you say, I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm lonely. Today, Jesus is passing by. And he's offering living water. He's offering rest. He's offering peace. He is offering intervention. He is offering you freedom. And He's telling you, look, I'm not worried that you, don't you dare walk out of here today and go to hell. Don't you dare do it. God will clean up all the other junk. Don't worry about none of that mess. He already paid for it. If your heart stopped beating right now, or when you're sitting in line at Wendy's and you're mad at me because you got out late, if your heart stopped beating right now, where would you be? Where'd you be without Jesus? And listen, and if you don't know, I don't care if you're a deacon. If you don't know, let's fix it right now. Let's change it right now. Do you want to change this? I mean, is that what you want? Do you want to go to a devil's hell where God never created for you to be to begin with? Is that really what you desire? Because today Jesus is calling and He's saying, come to me, all who are weary, who are heavy burdened, who are heavy laden, and you're broken, and you've screwed up so many times, and you've fallen, and you have not received my forgiveness. Come to me right now. That's what Jesus is declaring. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I love you. I accept you. I like you. I like you so much I died for you. Come on right now. If you don't know, come. If you don't have Christ in your heart and you don't know if you do or not, I want you to come right now. If you don't know, come on. Because tomorrow could be too late. Tomorrow could be too late. If you don't know, come on. We're down here together. Come on. Come on. I'm standing here with you. I'm with you. Come on. He is calling out. He is begging you. Please, please come to me. I desire you. I love you. I accept you. I have forgiven. I have washed your sins. They are as far as the east is from the west. Come to me. I'm your Savior. I'm your security. I am your safety. Today, I know in my spirit, I know in my heart right now that there are others. There are others. And the word of the Lord to you is right now is, I love you. I support you. I don't care if you've been in victory for 20 years or all your life. I love you. Don't let your pride take you to hell. Don't let your pride take you from my goodness and from my mercy. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? The will of the Father today, the word of the Lord is, would you come into the kingdom? Would you come back to me? 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 I'm crying out. This is the Holy Spirit talking through me. Would you come back to me? Would you live for me? I died for you.